I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Deray. Alexander, we have the Adam Schiff impeachment inquiry report that he's issued. We also had the GOP, the Republicans, also issued a pre-buttal, not so much of a rebuttal, but a pre-buttal before the report came out. So we have these two documents on the Ukraine Gate impeachment hoax, the ridiculous, silly narrative that Trump asked Zelensky to meddle in the 2020 elections against Joe Biden because Hunter Biden was making $100,000 plus a month from Burisma. And anyway, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing's absolutely dumb and silly. But Alexander, we've said it many times. We don't need to get into the details of it. Alexander, when I looked at Adam Schiff, the man who is sponsored by the oligarch, the Ukraine oligarch, Pasternak, by the way. So, you know, Adam Schiff has some Ukrainian mentors as well, some Ukrainian backing. But when I saw the report, Alexander, the thing looked like it was a screenplay or something. I mean, I've heard that Schiff, being the representative from California, actually wanted to be a screenwriter. So I don't know. I'm starting to think that maybe this is, you know, his chance at, you know, writing a movie or something. I don't know. But anyway, get into these two documents.
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is that the Schiff document is about twice as long as the Republican document, even though they cover exactly the same material. And it is like the Schiff document is like no legal document that I've ever read before in my life in any kind of legal situation. I mean, you described it as a bad film script. I think it's actually worse than that. I mean, first of all, it uses incredibly colloquial and inappropriate language. And so, I mean, to give one example, it refers to three senior officials of the US government. That's ambassadors Volker, Sondland, and Assistant Secretary Kerry, as the three amigos. And, you know, they are consistently called that throughout the document. Now, apparently they had a joke between themselves that, you know, they would sometimes refer to each other in that way. But really, you want to put that in an impeachment report? You want to refer to them in that way in an impeachment report? I mean, that's it seems to be completely wrong. It also talks about, you know, the supposed deal that Donald Trump was trying to negotiate with Zelensky as a drug deal. And it does so repeatedly throughout the report again. Now, that is a comment that has been attributed to John Bolton. Supposedly, Fiona Hill heard him say, John Bolton say, that, you know, what Trump was up to was some sort of drug deal. But of course, Bolton himself has never testified. So again, it's completely inappropriate language to use in a report of this nature. And some of the other things that it says, some of the other words that it says, even if they're not exactly inappropriate, I mean, they are very misleading and they're very wrong. So it says that Donald Trump, you know, ousted Ambassador Yovanovitch from her job.
Regime change.
Exactly. Well, that's what it sounds like. I mean, the fact of the matter is, as she herself admitted, and as even Adam Schiff, by the way, has to admit at one point, Donald Trump has absolute and, you know, complete right and authority to sack her whenever he wanted. He had no reason to even give reasons for doing so.
To oust her.
I mean, you know, it implies that you know that there's some kind of, you know, illegitimate exercise of presidential power here, which is, you know, completely wrong. I mean, it doesn't that. I mean, that's completely wrong. And of course, it also talks about the the theories that Ukraine meddled in the 2016 election, and that Joe Biden arranged for Hunter Biden, sorry, for Shokin, the Procurator General to be sacked to protect Burisma, on which his son Hunter Biden was working. It refers to those as discredited conspiracy theories. Now, that's not a, I mean, discredited in what sense? And conspiracy theories. Well, Joe Biden admitted that he engineered Shokin's dismissal. And Ukrainian officials have bragged about the fact that they interfered in the 2016 presidential election. You can't talk about these events in that way. I mean, that's simply wrong to do so. But going past all this huge amount of bluster, and the other thing to say is, by the way, before I go on to this, it's the way in which the whole thing is written. If you go to the Republican memo, with the Republican, you know, pre-buttle, which we'll come to in a moment, I mean, it is very carefully structured like a legal document. It takes every issue carefully in turn. Schiff's doesn't do that. It reads like a sort of narrative. It takes a sort of historical, if you like, approach. It starts, or rather, you know, it reads like a story, a bad story, by the way, but, you know, a bad story in which Donald Trump decides that he's going to put pressure on Zelensky. Donald Trump is, you know, this sort of mafioso, gangsterish
figure. The drug dealer. He gets the three amigos come and save the day as the drug dealer is trying to oust the ambassador.
Exactly. He ousts the ambassador. He sends in the three amigos. The three amigos shake down, you know, poor innocent Zelensky. And Zelensky, you know, is weakly prepared to agree to do all the things that Trump wants, which is basically to investigate Joe and Hunter Biden, except lo and behold, what happens is that the heroic whistleblower comes forward, Congress intervenes, the Republic is saved from this nefarious and evil plot. I mean, seriously, that is how it reads. I'm not exaggerating its language to any great extent. Whereas what the Republican pre-buttle does is it actually examines the evidence. It says, you know, was Yovanovitch sacked inappropriately? No, she wasn't. As I said, Trump had every right to sack her, and there were actually quite a lot of complaints about her from all sorts of people, extending quite a long way back, including many people in Ukraine. Did Donald Trump operate through illicit and inappropriate channels? No, he didn't. Kerry and Sondland were senior officials holding senior posts in the US government. Was there any attempt to impose a quid pro quo? Well, they actually analyzed the transcript, or the record of the two telephone conversations. Something, by the way, that Schiff doesn't really do. I mean, he talks about these conversations at some length, but he never actually does a real examination of their words, a forensic examination of their words. Anyway, they conclude that there is no actual quid pro quo, no obvious sign of any threats there. And was aid, the military assistance, held up in the way that Schiff alleges? This is, by the way, is supposed to be what the pressure was, that that Ukraine would not get its military assistance and Zelensky would not get his meeting with Trump. Was the military assistance held up in order to force investigations of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden? No, the evidence to that does not exist. And was Zelensky put under pressure to agree to investigations in order to get a meeting with Donald Trump? No. He wasn't. I mean, they go through all of this, and they go through it very, very carefully. But if I may say, the overall core of this thing, where it all really comes down, is that Schiff accepts Sondland's presumption, Sondland's guess, if you like, that Donald Trump was linking the supply of military aid to these investigations. And the Republicans point out that actually this is only a guess. So Schiff takes Sondland's guess and accepts and treats it as true. The Republicans point out correctly, and pointing to Sondland's own words, that at the end of the day, it's just Sondland's guess. And moreover, the Republicans are also able to quote Donald Trump's own words, including private meetings, in which Donald Trump makes it absolutely clear that he is not linking either the start, granting of the military assistance or his meeting with Zelensky to any announcement or decision about any sort of investigations. So you have one document, which is the Schiff document, which I would call it basically a work of fiction, a storybook, and another one, which is the Republican rebuttal, which is actually a work of conventional legal analysis. Now, no guesses which of the two I prefer.
Well, Sondland doesn't even believe his own presumption. The guy's so wishy-washy. He's such a flip-flopper. He's so scatterbrained.
As the Republicans point out, by the way.
He doesn't even believe his own presumptions.
No, I know.
The whole thing hurts my head. It's so dumb.
I know.
We have the transcript, Alexander. We know exactly what Trump told Zelensky. And I think actually Zelensky, like 2 days ago or 3 days ago, had an interview. He even said, I think for the umpteenth time, I did not feel pressured. I didn't even know about the weapons being withheld, the aid being withheld. It wasn't even aid. It was a sale of Javelin missiles. It was a sale. It wasn't even aid. Yeah. The whole thing hurts my head. It's so dumb. Today, yeah. Alexander, I watched it goes to the judicial.
Yeah.
With Nadler, and I watched his opening statements. This is going to be an even bigger train wreck than Schiff.
Oh, I agree.
Nadler is actually trying to connect Ukraine gate to Russia gate.
Yes.
And he's now saying that Trump was obstructing, you know, the Russia gate investigation. And, you know, he let a foreign power come and destabilize the 2016 election. And now he's, you know, using a foreign, you know, government to try and destabilize the 2020 election. That was Nadler's whole shtick. His whole thing was Russia gate to Ukraine gate.
I know. I mean, it's quite bizarre.
This is getting to the point that these guys need help. They really need professional help.
I completely agree. I mean, we've said this before in videos. I mean, Donald Trump is supposed to have got Russia's help in the 2016 election, and he's supposed to be seeking Ukraine's help in the 2020 election, except, of course, that Russia and Ukraine are actually enemies. So, I mean, that doesn't make any kind of sense. I mean, it's just, as I said, if you take any of this seriously, your head would explode. The only thing to do is not to take it seriously, because you can't take it seriously. And by the way, I am also aware of that Zelensky interview in which he says quite clearly and categorically that he didn't feel under pressure. Now, you're not going to get any real information out of the Schiff impeachment report, but you do actually get quite a lot of interesting pieces of information from the Republican report. Firstly, the Republicans talk at some length about the activities of Alexandra Chalupa and her involvement with the Ukrainian embassy in meddling in the 2016 election. That's important because we never really would have heard about that, I think, in the public media, certainly not in Congress, if this whole thing, this whole impeachment saga hadn't been started. And of course, we've also got from the Republicans now, for the first time, this very interesting admission that Glenn Simpson of Fusion GPS apparently did go to Ukraine and may have had some kind of contact with Sergei Leshchenko, who is the man who produced the black dossier, the black.
We called it.
Exactly.
We called it.
Which brought down Paul Manafort. So that looks pretty bad, actually. And bear in mind that Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, has said that some of the sources of the Steele dossier actually come from Ukraine. So we got Glenn Simpson going to Ukraine, Sergei Leshchenko, with whom he appears to have been in contact, comes up with a black ledger. Sorry, it was the black ledger, not the black dossier. And we also hear from Giuliani that there is some evidence that Glenn Simpson also went to Ukraine, was going to Ukraine, and the Steele dossier actually came from, parts of it at least, came from Ukraine also. So, you know, we may be waiting to hear an awful lot more there. We also learned something really very interesting about the Ukrainian embassy in Washington, which is that apparently it went rogue. After Zelensky was elected, the officials at that embassy were loyal, continue to be loyal to Poroshenko, and were actually working against Zelensky during a period of time until Zelensky sacked Ukraine's ambassador to Washington. That person was still working for Poroshenko even after Zelensky was elected. And there's been some confusion, for example, about when exactly the Ukrainians learnt about the fact that this military assistance, these sales of these Javelin missiles had been stopped. It seems partly the reason that there was a delay in the Ukrainian government in Kiev learning about this was that the Ukrainian embassy wasn't passing on information to the Ukrainian government in Kiev. That gives you an idea, by the way, of how dysfunctional the Ukrainian government is and how loyalties in Ukraine don't follow, you know, official lines. They are all bound up with oligarch politics. So we learned some important details like that from the Republican, you know, report. Republicans also say an awful lot, by the way, which of course Schiff doesn't comment or touch upon, about the fact that there were all these massive problems of due process. And the Republicans have made it very clear that if there is a Senate trial, they will want Hunter Biden to actually give evidence. Because they also discuss at length Burisma, and they point out that Burisma does have a very bad reputation. There's a very interesting extract from the testimony that Ambassador Volker gives, in which he made a point, by the way, which I made on a video which we did some time ago, in which I said that, you know, Trump asking the Ukrainians, or rather the United States, it's not obvious that Trump ever asked the Ukrainians to investigate anybody, but US officials seeking to get the Ukrainians as part of a larger campaign to root out corruption in Ukraine, asking them to investigate Burisma holdings, is a perfectly appropriate thing for them to do, because Burisma Holdings was so well known as being a very corrupt company. And in fact, there were concerns about Burisma's corruption circulating within the Obama White House at the time, by the way, when Hunter Biden accepted a post on its board. And of course, the Republicans say quite clearly now that there was clearly a conflict of interest between Joe Biden having such a prominent role in Ukraine and Hunter Biden accepting a job at Burisma Holdings. So there's an awful lot actually in the Republican pre-battle, which we would probably never have seen if we hadn't had this impeachment happen. So if there is going to be a trial in the Senate, I would expect quite a lot of people are going to be brought forward and are going to be questioned by counsel in the Senate. And that will be very interesting to see how that turns out. And I think there's two further points I just wanted to make, which is that the Republicans have provided, I think, a fairly convincing explanations for Trump's motives. First of all, I mean, it's absolutely clear now that Donald Trump does not like Ukraine. I mean, he was complaining that the Ukrainians had tried to bring him down in 2016. He sees Ukraine as a deeply corrupt place. He was told that, this, by the way, we know from Schiff, not from the Republicans, he was told by Viktor Orban of Hungary what a totally corrupt place Ukraine is. And he clearly trusts Orban. Trump clearly trusts Orban. So he was very, very anxious to see that the Ukrainians would do things to clean up corruption. And he was talking to the Ukrainians about this. That's what he says in the famous 25th of July telephone call. One of the things, he wanted them to clean up corruption. And he was worried about the fact that Ukraine was such a corrupt country. And he was worried about the fact that US tax dollars were going into this very corrupt country. And he felt that this was somehow inappropriate. And he wanted the Ukrainians to clean up their act before he allowed that to happen. And he's not keen on foreign aid generally. So that was why he slow walked the military assistance. But there's no evidence that he ever intended conclusively to stop it. And there's certainly no evidence that he intended to hold it back as part of some sort of quid pro quo. That's only Sondland's guess, and that's the only evidence. The only evidence that he did is Sondland's guess. And as you absolutely rightly say, and as the Republicans also say, Sondland is a totally unreliable witness who changes his testimony at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, absolutely. All you have to do is read the transcript and you understand. Read the transcript. And you understand that this story is all about nothing. Zelensky has his own problems, it seems. So this is just a shame that all of this is being thrust onto Zelensky as well, because he's got a huge job ahead. And now he has to deal with this stupidity. Alexander, I hope this does go to the Senate. Please let there be a trial. Here are some names that I would like to see called to the Senate. And I think it would make great TV. I think the ratings would be a huge hit. And if I was Schumer, I would be sitting Pelosi down and telling her, Nancy, stop this right away, because if this gets to the Senate, people will watch the Senate hearings. And as a party, the Democrat Party is going to implode, because I can name some names right now. Chalupa, TV gold to see her testify. The gossip blower, ratings will go through the roof to see him testify. Glenn Simpson. Hunter Biden, especially now that Hunter Biden has fathered this illegitimate kid, to see him sitting there and testifying to the Senate. Christopher Steele, Victoria Nuland, Jeffrey Pyatt, Samantha Power, Barack Obama. I mean,
Susan Rice.
If the Republicans really wanted to,
Brennan,
they could nuke the entire Democrat Party if they wanted to.
Well, indeed.
That's all I have to say there.
Well, I agree. But that's where it's heading now, it seems to me. I mean, the Democrats have got themselves in a very difficult situation because, as you correctly said, Nadler is trying to ginger this up, this non-case, because, be very clear, this Ukraine case is a non-case. He's trying to ginger it up by bringing elements of Russiagate into it. One of the things Schiff is trying to do also, by the way, is he's trying to build another obstruction of justice case here in relation to Ukrainegate, because the Trump White House directed members of the administration not to participate in these impeachment proceedings. But of course, the point was, and again, this is where I think the whole argument collapses, that was done on the advice of White House counsel. So, I mean, again, you can't accuse a president of obstruction when he's acting on legal advice. I mean, that doesn't really add up or make any kind of sense ultimately. And again, talking about obstruction requires a crime. I mean, I know that there are these theoretical arguments that you can have obstruction of an investigation without a crime. But in this case, where no crime has ever really been alleged, I mean, what is the issue? Why are we talking about obstruction here at all? Now, I think Nadler, who, I have to say this, comes across to me as a rather less intelligent man than Adam Schiff. As I've said before, I'm a rather polite person, so I choose my words carefully. Anyway, Nadler, who is nonetheless a rather less intelligent man than Adam Schiff, sensing the fact that this Ukraine gate thing simply will not fly, is making the disastrous mistake of dragging in all the Russia gate things, in which perhaps he's deluded enough to still believe in that he can ginger this whole thing up and make it look rather stronger when it goes to the floor of the Senate. I entirely agree with you. It is going to make it explode even more loudly, because frankly, if you really want to really have the whole story of Russiagate fought over on the Senate floor, then frankly, I mean, I think you are, I mean, well, stupid really doesn't describe
it. Would you not
it,
like
probably.
To see Hunter Biden, Alexander sitting oh, there and explaining I'm... what's going on? Would you
well,
not
absolutely.
Like to see that as a lawyer, just to see
well,
that?
Well.
To see I mean, not Nunez, to see people like Lindsey Graham or who else, or Grassley, all these guys,
oh,
ask
absolutely.
Hunter Biden what the hell was
absolutely.
Going on, or Chalupa.
Well, indeed. Well, bear in mind, I understand that the president can actually instruct his own counsel so he can bring in the most tough, ruthless, effective, brutal, trial lawyer that you can think of, who could probably take all of these people apart. I mean, you talk about Hunter Biden. I'd love to ask. I mean, I can already start thinking about all sorts of questions I would ask Hunter Biden. I mean, the first question I would ask him is, how much did they pay you? We still don't know. When did they contact you? Did you do any due diligence into Burisma Holdings before you accepted the job there? What did you actually do when you worked for Burisma Holdings? Where was the money paid? Was it paid directly into your accounts? And of course, the big question, what did you say about it to your father? When did your father find out?
What about questioning Chalupa or Glenn Simpson?
Oh, I mean, you could go.
Would you have for them?
I've focused on Hunter Biden because these are simple questions. But of course, with Chalupa, I'm guessing that you'd have you could have a very, very long. You have a full day of testimony at the least, and Glenn Simpson, I suspect, even more. By the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to even start with Christopher Steele, by the way.
You could do a whole week of TV with Christopher Steele. You know, if the mainstream
you
media wants
right,
ratings,
yeah.
if they want ratings,
yeah.
this is ratings gold.
You could have a wonderful time with Christopher Steele and with Bruce Orr and with Lisa Page and Peter Strzok and with Andrew
call
McCabe. You could call them all in. And, of course, with Halper and... I can never remember her name. I think it is her name, the Turkish woman. You can have them all there. Azra Turk, that's right. You can have them all there. I mean, you can have them all there and subjected to cross examination, and it would be bloody, frankly. That's the only thing I can say about it. I mean, there'd be blood on the carpet.
The Democrats aren't that stupid to let
no,
it. I can't
no,
imagine that
no.
they would actually let it go that far.
I agree. I entirely agree. But there we go. I mean, the Republican pre-battle shows that at least the Republicans in the House of Representatives are itching to do this. Whether the Republicans in the Senate are, I'm not so sure. But certainly the House Republicans are itching for it.
All right. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we publish a new video. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud to get an audio copy of this video as well. And please donate to us, PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. You will find links in the description box down below, and your donation really helps us out a whole lot. And check us out on BitChute and Duran Video. BitChute is the free speech video platform, and Duran Video is our own video service, which is in beta mode, but we invite you to check it out and follow us there. And subscribe to our channel on Telegram. Download the app on Android and iPhone. Telegram will keep you in tune with the Duran community. We post everything we do on Telegram as well. So find the Duran channel on Telegram and subscribe to us there. And on Telegram, Alexander, we post all kinds of deals and coupons to the Duran shop. DRN20 is the coupon we have going on till, I believe, the 6th or 7th of January 2020, where you get 20% off everything in the DRN shop, the Duran shop.
Well, what an amazing opportunity that is. DRN20, remember those words, because of course you can get all these extraordinary and wonderful things and do so over Christmas. These extraordinary and wonderful things that we have in our shop, these marvelous Duran mugs like these that we've often shown you. I'm drinking at the moment from my trusty Lavrov mug, which is the one with Sergei Lavrov on it. Alex, I think, has been drinking from the mug with the emblem of the Russian Federation on it, which is identical to the one that Putin has. Not the mug, the emblem, I should stress. Our mugs are much better than Putin's in every respect because they are beautifully made. We have a marvelous supplier who makes these mugs for us. That's a secret. We won't tell you where. Because our rivals are all aching to know. And they are marvelous mugs. They're light, they're strong, they're beautifully made. They look beautiful, they feel wonderful in the hand. And they keep your tea, if it's tea that you drink, as I do, or coffee. I think Alex is a coffee drinker, by the way. Your coffee hot, or your beer cold. And as I said, they're 15 ounces, so you can have all the tea, coffee, beer, hot chocolate, whatever you like, you can have it all there, and it's in good quantities, and as I said, all kept at the right temperature. And of course, we don't just have mugs, we have these enormous, wonderful shirts that, like the one I'm wearing, the amazing polo shirt I'm wearing, 100% cotton, incredibly comfortable, phenomenally stylish, with the Duran double-headed eagle there, beautifully embroidered on it. I've worn shirts like this to really elegant social occasions and have actually had rather complimentary comments made to me by people who know nothing about the Duran, by the way, and just were impressed by, you know, the way I looked in my shirt. So there you go. And you can also find other types of shirts. You can find long sleeve t-shirts, short sleeves t-shirts, v-neck shirts. You can also find hoodies and hats and stickers. Things for all times and all seasons, all incredibly comfortable, whatever time of year you need them for. So this is the time to buy presents for your friends and your family. This is to buy presents for yourself. These are wonderful things that make not just perfect presents, but are really great and useful to have. You can help us by buying them. So DRN20, as Alex said, he will tell you how. He will tell you where you can go to our shop to buy these great things. So, Alex, over.
TheDuranShop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. And DRN20, just put that in when you're at the checkout page in the coupon box. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.